And when do you think other courses began, like Queen Mary, IT? That was late 80s or?
I'm not sure exactly when they started, but certainly I wouldn't claim to be the only one. I do believe that mine was the first undergraduate course in Great Britain in the LLB when I introduced it in 1979. But clearly, you had people like Colin Tapper who were working in the field before me and writing and researching at Oxford. And Queen Mary, clearly, you've got the Centre for Commercial Law Studies there. And now, of course, got Chris Millard and Ian Warden and others who are working there, became an extremely important base for the development of this subject.
I think that you also came from Baker and McKenzie, or they had some
Yes,
connection.
and of course, my very good friends at Baker and McKenzie. I haven't mentioned that I founded an encyclopedia at about the same time as the journal, and that was contributed to from the very earliest stages by lawyers at Baker and McKenzie, and there were others from Bird and Bird, and later on from Bristow's and other law firms, who rapidly could see the commercial potential of providing legal advice and expertise in this field. But of course, Don Gerard, who became head of intellectual property at Baker McKenzie, who I've known for 30 years, as a very, very good friend, he was a big influence in terms of helping me to understand from the practitioner perspective what this subject was all about. Because it was unusual in the sense that you're right, it wasn't an established field. How do you create a field and establish it from nothing? You have to talk to people. You have to talk to every angle of interest. You've got to talk to practitioners. You've got to talk to other academics. You've got to talk to scientists. So there were people like Stephen Castell, who is a major figure even today in the field of expert witness research. There was a woman called Gillian Bull, who transcended both the practitioner community and academic life, who I'm still in touch with. So you had to talk to people and build up your ideas, and you had to create events and conferences that you could attend. And we used to go regularly to meetings in Strasbourg and in Luxembourg, particularly through the Legal Advisory Board. And that way you begin to build up. And of course, I haven't mentioned Yon Bing, the late Professor Yon Bing, who was a similar massive influence in this field, particularly in terms of privacy, who was one of the co-founders of the Norwegian Research Centre for Computers and Law, which was one of the earliest centres in the world researching in this field. So you've got some landmark figures dotted around the globe, both in the practitioner and academic community, who could see the convergence between law and technology coming, but not knowing whether that would be a nuclear explosion of uncertainty or whether it would be something that would seamlessly connect and gravitate towards a legal framework that worked. And it was a mixture of the two, I think, that actually happened.
Do you have also connections with the information science and library people like Charles Oppenheim or people who were at City University?
We did in the early years of ByLita, British and Irish Legal Education Technology Association, have folk from City University. I remember that. That kind of petered out for me when the interest led by Abdul Paliwala from Warwick was more in the technology in the classroom, more than the legal issues. And so we began to look elsewhere. The Society for Computers and Law was very influential, and I was part of that. And I used to write a regular piece from Arizona about the law. And at one time, I think I even published some of their regular newsletters. But we all tended to have our particular sphere of interest, and we kind of left each other alone to some extent. Graham Greenleaf comes into the picture from Australia, from Sydney, University of New South Wales. Graham Greenleaf, who was the founder of Austley, who is a huge figure in the development of legal databases. He was also conducting research and regularly over in the United Kingdom. And so you've got as I said to you before, figureheads, Graham, Yuan Bing, Gerald Dworkin, emerging Christopher Millard, Ian Walden, those folk who began to come together. We knew of each other, Jeremy Phillips and of course Harry, and you gradually build up an understanding of what they're doing, the work they're doing, and papers begin to emerge, books get exchanged, work gets done, research comes along, European Commission gets us involved through the Legal Advisory Board, legal measures are coming from the European Union, British government are legislating on data protection, computer crime and other areas. So you begin to have ingredients for the subject to emerge.